in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Sinaia, Romania, in Transylvanian Alps. I welcome Antonio Colobasciano of Geopolitical Futures of Subscriptions that I highly recommend to speak of Germany, to speak of Ukraine, to speak of the European Union, to speak of reconstruction in Ukraine. But we begin with Germany because that story is fresh. The Germans have a quandary. I follow Antonio's reporting of what to do about a budget and stay within its promises, its expectations, and the EU about how much they can spend, how much debt they can take on. And at the same time, new pledges for supporting weapons and defense of Ukraine. All of that led to Olaf Scholz, the chancellor, not having a solution because he rules a coalition that is at odds with how much they can spend, how much they have to spend, how much they can borrow. Antonio, a very good evening to you. When you first posted this piece, the Germans were in heated dispute. And driving that dispute is, one, they lost their biggest and best trade partner. That would be China because of China's disorder following the COVID. And two, they lost their biggest energy supplier. That would be Russia, having to deal with the Ukraine war. They've been in ferocious conference ever since as the leading state of Europe. The news now, have they settled things? Have they stopped the spat and come to an agreement? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, they have settled some things. However, not everything was settled. So they have a draft budget, which means that they have a paper that they will submit to their parliament that needs to approve this by year end. And as you and I know, Christmas is coming and the holidays are coming. So it is yet unclear if they will get this passed through by the end of December, which means that the little that they've come up with is kind of in trouble politically. So it's not a done deal fully as it is. Also, I will add that this is a very short-term fix because they cannot really fix their bigger problems. I mean, China is having economic problems of its own, and Russia is not going to supply energy anytime soon to Germany. So Germany needs to find a way out of the energy crisis that allows it to basically transfer its industry's consumption from gas to something else, which is not easy. So what they've done now is basically getting to a political agreement that they will keep their rules about not becoming too indebted. So the so-called debt brake is still a principle for the German government, which means that they have cut down funding on stuff that pertains to climate and transformation in Germany. So basically, the fund would be reduced by 20 billion euros for Germany and by 45 billion euros in budget planning up to 2027. So 20 billion euros is only for this year, which kind of means that everything related to reforms in the larger sense of the word. So, for instance, upgrading the state railway firm, Deutsche Bahn, will likely not happen. And we will likely see privatization of government stakes in that company and other companies. There will also be a cut in subsidies related to climate change and related to the green economy that they kind of supported. That is basically going against the idea of transformation, digitization, getting greener and so on, which is only normal. So It's not much that they've done, and we will see how well they have done, because it is unclear whether they will be able to keep down subsidies considering the challenges that they are facing in 2024.
The irony's in front of us, Antonia, because on the same day that the announcement from the Middle East, from the Gulf, about an agreement, 200 nations moving to a future where there is minimal fossil fuel, 200 countries coming together for, say, subsidizing those states that are most damaged by climate change, 200 countries who are coming together to understand that depending upon the fossil fuel industry is self-destructive. Germany reverses course and cuts back on its green technology investment, on its transportation investment to go to hydrogen buses or electric buses, cuts back the very same day. Now, I'm not asking us to solve this. I'm just struck by how Olaf Scholz convinced the Greens to give up their plans and their future. Are you surprised by the Greens conceding on these matters?
Very much. I'm not sure what else was conceded upon by the other coalition partners. So there is very little detail about that. And that said, it might be that we may hear some other details in the upcoming days, but it is, I mean, not having subsidies for green energy or green industry at a time when you are shifting away from Russian gas and after you have spent years in promoting the idea in Europe that green technology has to be supported is surprising. However, I will add that whatever was done in the transition, the green transition and digitization was not necessarily done through the government support, which is to say that Germany has had a strategy of pushing companies to do whatever is needed. And companies, because we are talking about Germany, are not necessarily changing what works. Which is to say that Germans have taken the time. And in that pattern, in that idea that Germans are taking the time to shift from traditional energy sources, fossil fuels, to green sources, we are pretty much seeing a resistant Germany, resistant to change in that sense, which is not surprising. It's not totally surprising. So we may be also interpreting this as, well, we cannot really do much by shifting to the green energy solution because green energy cannot sustain the industry. So since we cannot really do that for our own good, then let's give up on that and support whatever is there to support related to the socioeconomic problems that we know we have and we know we will have in 2024.
Germany's in recession, I believe, or near to recession. We have numbers from London saying they're in negative territory, not recession yet. Germany's had a bad 23, so they're making decisions on their back foot very much. I'm speaking to Antonia Calabasciano. She is in Transylvania's Alps. That's what it's called. It's the Lower Carpathians. Sinaia is the name of the city in Romania. We're going to turn to Romania next and its frontline position on the war in Ukraine, which is not concluded, and what we know about Ukrainian reconstruction, because Antonia is attending a conference of all the interested parties for reconstruction of the destroyed and badly damaged Ukraine that now wants to be a member of the EU, wants to be a member of NATO, but there have to be major decisions made before that. The news that I have from Antonia is that Germany's made decisions about its immediate future that are contradictory. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.